Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
NBA's on absolute fire. Got a lot of stuff to talk about, and we do so with Antonio Daniels, who we love, Pelicans and Thunder studio analyst for Fox Sports. A lot of fire, a lot of opinions, not afraid to mix it up. What up, Antonio? How you doing today, buddy?
I'm good, BT. How you doing,
brother? I'm doing great, brother. Appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you carving out some time. So, listen, we're smart enough to understand what's real and what's not, and I know that David Griffin had to say this. I applaud him for saying this, that, yeah, we're going to try to figure out a way to keep Anthony Davis, blah, blah, blah. We all know that he's not staying. Anthony Davis wants out. So we all know that the Pelicans need to find a trade partner that will net them the most assets. And I was dissecting a couple of situations. The Knicks, clearly. The Celtics, the Lakers. Where's he playing next year, Anthony Davis?
You know, what's weird to me is now Anthony Davis has kind of flipped the script because he has a lot of leverage. He has a lot of leverage. So when he came out with the teams that he wanted to get traded to, two of those teams were, as you just mentioned, the Knicks and the Lakers. The Celtics weren't in there.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the Celtics have a good package that they can give back to the New Orleans Pelicans, if Anthony Davis tells Danny Ainge, if you trade for me, I am not signing long-term, that's a deal that Danny Ainge probably won't do. Because this is not a Paul George situation in Oklahoma City or a Kawhi Leonard situation in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little different because Anthony Davis has made it clear who he wants to play with. He wants to play with LeBron James on the West Coast, or he wants to play with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on the East Coast. So now if you're David Griffin, I get it. I'm right with you, BT. You have to go out there and say, look, we're going to do all we can to get you to stay. But if he says he wants to go, you have to take a good hard look at the Knicks. And the fact that they have the number three pick, they have R.J. Barrett, they have Dennis Smith Jr., they have Kevin Knox. So you can put R.J. Barrett back with Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
And then that buzz will be back in the city with those guys. So you have to take a good hard look at the New York Knicks situation and the assets that they have to offer.
Okay, so we're singing the same tune. We're on the same page. I wanted to throw this at you as well. Because the imagery of the – and I get it. Trust me, I get it. The Pelicans front ticket office going absolutely bananas the other night.
Right.
And that was pretty poignant stuff. They were out of their minds, and good for them. But what if – and I don't know if this is the case, but what if – we'll play the game. What if David Griffin's opinion of either Ja Morant or R.J. Barrett was a little higher than his basketball – just his basketball opinion of Zion Williamson. But then you factor in – the bolstering the economic bottom line.
That's all a part of it.
I hear you. How do you balance that?
I mean, the thing is, I don't think, realistically, let's be honest, because a couple days, even on draft day, I said there were two teams that if they got the number one pick, that you had to give kind of consideration to whether or not you wanted to take Ja Morant before Zion.
Okay.
Not to say that they would do it.
Yep.
But you just had to give consideration.
I'm
with
you.
Those two teams were the Chicago Bulls and the Phoenix Suns.
The Bulls and the Suns. Why those teams?
Because those teams are badly in need of a lead guard. Both of those teams are badly in need of a lead guard. Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton need someone to control that team. And then you need someone to package or put alongside Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. in that backcourt,
mm-hmm,
alongside Zach LaVine. So those two teams need a lead guard. But with that being said, I highly doubt if Phoenix Suns or the Chicago Bulls had the first overall pick, because you do have to take into consideration what you just said.
Mm.
You have to take into consideration the buzz around Zion Williamson. Because I can tell you this for myself. I can tell you this for myself, BT.
Okay.
I can't tell you the last time that I was this excited to watch the draft lottery.
I know.
Alone.
I know.
Just the draft lottery. And then it's not because – and I love Ja Morant. I love Ja Morant. I think he's going to be a star. But it's not because of Ja Morant. It's not because of R.J. Barrett.
Yep.
It's not because of Cam Reddish. is because of Zion Williamson and all that comes along with him.
Now, there's no doubt. We're talking to Antonio Daniels, 13 years in the NBA, former top five pick himself back in the day, and he's got a championship back in 99. Hey, do me a favor, by the way. You don't have to make this too long, but you just mentioned Chicago, and every time I mention Lauri Markkanen, right, Tiki rolls his eyes. I'm going to lay out. I know Markkanen's going to be terrific. Can you just? So we're going to record this, and the next time my partner starts to roll his eyes at Lauri Markkanen, I'm going to actually play this. So I need Antonio Daniels to tell me what he thinks of Lauri Markkanen.
I need to know why Tiki's rolling his eyes.
I don't think because he watches him. That's why. But you tell me.
I like him. I like him.
I need a little more than that if I'm going to play it for him. Come on.
No, I'm saying we forget how young he is and his ceiling. You know, what he can become, his potential. He is growing slowly but surely, and thus far around a situation that is not the best basketball situation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's the most difficult situation for young players to be thrown into.
Yeah.
A situation that's all losing, where the front office is dysfunctional. Things are, you got different coaches coming in and out. Is this coach here? Is it Hoiberg? Is it this guy? Is it that guy? So many other things that are going on. And the fact of the matter is, he can run. He can shoot it. He can put the ball on the floor. And he's extremely versatile.
Mm-hmm.
In today's NBA, you can play him at the five, which is great. You can play him at the four, which is great, because of his skill set. And what I love is how much he grew from the beginning of this year to the end of this year. Completely different player.
I love him.
Confident.
I love him. I loved him in college. Let me ask you this real quick. What was your opinion on the Cavaliers hiring John Beilein?
You know what, man? The first thing I thought about when I heard that is, my first thought, I'm being honest, was now I see why Tyronn Lue turned down the Los Angeles Lakers. My first thought.
Okay.
They offered him a 3-year deal. They offered Tyronn Lue a 3-year deal, and he is an NBA championship coach.
Yep.
John Beilein, who is a heck of a college coach, has never coached in an NBA game in his life, gets a 5-year deal off the jump. Off the jump. So my first thought was, man, the Lakers are really arrogant. That was my initial thought. The Lakers are arrogant, basically saying, we're going to offer you a 3-year deal, and you should take it because we're the Los Angeles Lakers. That was my first thought. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You never know how college coaches will translate to the league. But I tell you what, there are two recent college coaches that had great success. Okay, you can talk about Fred Hoiberg. He didn't have the best success. But you look at Billy Donovan, Oklahoma City, making it to the Western Conference Finals. You look at Brad Stevens in Boston, making it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an argument for both sides, but you never truly know how a guy's coaching style, his coaching philosophy, his schemes, his age, how will he be able to relate to the younger guys? How all that is going to all that's going to work at the next level.
Yeah, when you start to factor in egos and you know, guys making 70, right, 80, 90, $130 million,
right,
it's a little different.
Now he has to deal with something he's never dealt with before.
No doubt about it.
This is different. The NBA is completely different than college. You
mm-hmm.
know, and I'm not just talking about athleticism and the talent. I'm talking about, you know what, when you're David Fizdale and you sit Mark Gasol in the fourth quarter, you're fired. You know, when you are Kevin McHale and you have an issue with James Harden, you're fired.
True.
You know, so right now, players have never been more empowered than they are today.
Yeah, no head. I mean, if there's a power struggle like with Pop and Kawhi, Pop won that one, but that is about the only one who's going to win any power struggle. That's just the way it is.
You're exactly right.
You know?
You're exactly right.
So I believe, talking to Antonio Daniels here of Tiki and Tierney, 13 years in the NBA, former lottery pick, NBA champ, 1999. I believe last night, if the Raptors, who just inexplicably lost their way after really dominating most of the game, if they hang on and they win that game and they don't waste 7 threes from Kyle Lowry and all this, all the good that they did, if they win that game, it's absolutely a 6 or a 7-game series. The fact that they choked on it, I believe they lose now in 5. I believe this series is unequivocally over. How about you?
I can't be a prisoner of the moment like that after one game. Either way, because I know for Toronto, both sides, Toronto is coming off a very emotional Game 7 win. That's tough to recover from.
Yep.
And Game 1. Look at Portland. They had to do the same thing. Toronto did. They had an emotional Game 7 win coming from 17 points down, winning on the road, then you travel back out. Toronto had to do basically the same exact thing. But then on the other side, you look at Milwaukee, who had over a to kind of get guys back together, get guys back to health, get Nico Mirotic back healthy, get Malcolm Brogdon back healthy, and kind of get things back in gear. So yesterday was – I cannot overreact over one game because I've seen it. I've seen it too much. You know, I saw Paul Pierce say after Boston beat Milwaukee in game one, oh, you know what, this series is over.
Yeah, how do you say that?
There are adjustments that can be made, players that can play better. So there's a lot of other intangibles that can happen for the remainder of this series.
All right, man. And do we give Portland a fighting chance tonight or what?
I don't. Yeah. But I didn't when this started. Like, yeah. It's just a bad matchup for Portland. It's a very bad matchup because if you're Terry Stotts, you have to make adjustments. But the adjustments that you may be forced to make are adjustments that you're not accustomed to making.
Such as? Such as?
Playing without a center.
Okay. Yep. Mm. I'll tell you, what a good story, too, Portland. What a great fact. I tweeted this Sunday, Antonio, when I genuinely felt bad for the Nugget fans, like, but Portland and Denver fans, two great venues, two teams with really good history, two very likable teams. Like, I felt bad that somebody had to actually lose that series.
Right.
You know?
Right. And what I liked about it is it's the fact that you have two teams that if you're not a fan of the Portland Trailblazers or the Denver Nuggets or an avid NBA fan, you're not familiar with these teams.
Uh-huh.
Because you're not staying up. You're not staying up out west to watch Portland play.
Yeah.
You're staying up to watch the Lakers,
yep.
And you're staying up to watch Golden State.
And Houston.
So, right. But Houston's not out west.
No, I got you.
No, Houston's on Central Time.
That's true.
You know, yep. So and I'll give you an example. I live in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
San Antonio played Denver first round.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm walking through the city, and people are talking to me about basketball. You know how many Spurs fans knew Jokic's name? I heard him call every inch name in the book except Jokic.
Except his real name.
Jusevic, Bajcevic, no one even knew his name.
Yeah.
But he is the best center in the league because it's not a sexy team. And a lot of people, if you're not an avid NBA fan, you're not familiar with the Denver Nuggets or the Portland Trailblazers.
That's true, brother. Antonio Daniels from Fox, and he does his thing for the Pelicans and the Thunder, an analyst in the studio, long-time career, lottery pick, and world champion as well, and obviously very good expressing himself. Terrific on the radio. Good job, buddy. I appreciate it, Antonio.
I appreciate you, BT. Thanks, brother.
Back at you, my man. There you go.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.